This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, and welcome to Unequal Sequel
Extra.
It's that time of the week when we bake a nice stodgy cake full of sequel goodness and we bring it to you direct to your ears so you can enjoy it.
Stodgy? I don't want a stodgy cake. Thanks, though.
It's the only word that came to my head. I could have gone with yummy, delicious, stodgy.
Stodgy. So, for everyone listening, Dave is in a weird, like, jet-laggy place. So this episode might be strange. It'd be even stranger than normal.
Yes. Well, Rich is extremely tired.
Yeah.
If anything, I am off the rocket
awake. We're recording quite late, and I've been at work all day, and then I've got to be at work all day tomorrow as well. So I'm in that kind of tired phase where I'd be normally thinking about going to bed about now. But no, because you're jet-lagged, it's like 2 o'clock in the afternoon for you.
It's easy, isn't it? I think I cope with it better this side the other way than the other way.
Oh, right, okay.
If that makes sense.
I have never had it. I've never been anywhere that made me that jet-lagged. Like,
yeah. I was cocky. First time I did this, which I've now done this God knows how many times from Canada, I handled it really well and thought, what's the big deal? And ever since that first time, it's just a mess.
Not been good.
No. Not been good. But I'm back. So what have
Yay!
I missed?
I mean, just go back and look at the Twitter, to be honest.
I've been doing
some tweeting. Oh, in the news. Oh,
New Prime Minister.
Apparently. Yeah, Liz Truss is our Prime Minister. Which, you know, looking on the positive side, that means you can do anything. Because if Liz Truss can become Prime Minister, holy fuck, anyone can
Dream
do anything.
Dream big, kids. Dream big.
Giving serious thoughts of going and living in Canada.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, mate. It's not much better there.
Oh, really? New Zealand, then.
I think that's the place that seems the most happiest of all countries.
Yeah. I'm going to New Zealand.
Yeah, so what's this coming out on Friday, which is the second week of September. I'd about to say April, but it's definitely September this month.
Yeah, so last week we did our Mission Impossible ranking. Which,
going very well.
To
Thank
us,
you for everyone listening.
We recorded bloody ages ago. But yeah. It was just out this Friday. And today we're reviewing a film that's been out a couple of weeks, let's be fair. We're not hot off the press with this one, but
absolutely,
it's a sequel. It's a British film, so it's right in our wheelhouse of what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And it is called Fishman's Friends, One and All.
Is it colon one and all?
It is colon one and all, yes.
Oh, God, that means there could be more of these.
Yeah.
We're doing this, people, because we've talked about some other months being barren of sequels and sequel stuff. This one is a whole new level. September is...
I mean, we've got one really cracking sequel that we're really looking forward to.
Yes.
Which is Clerks 3. I think we can mention that.
Clerks 3, next week.
Next week.
Yes.
But otherwise, yeah, it's pretty barren. and obviously, this movie actually came out last month. So it came out on the 19th of August, I think.
Really? That long? It's still playing, though.
Still playing. Still in cinemas. Still people in the cinema watching it when I went to watch it. Most of them 30 years older, at least, than I am.
Absolutely.
But still, there are people going to watch it. I think it's got a market.
Not even just that. I think they're probably my favourite ever cinema audience I've ever sat with.
Oh, really?
Okay. They were polite. They were there way before the trailers and the adverts. Mm. They were ready with snacks. They didn't get up. They didn't talk. There was no phone behaviour.
I was very surprised
misbehavior.
No one got up to go to the loo.
Yeah,
no one got
exactly.
up to go to the loo with mine.
One guy, an old boy, bless his socks, he booked seats at the back. And for a minute, I didn't think he was going to get up there. Walking him up there, I thought, oh, mate, just sit. There's so many seats. You can sit where you want.
Mm.
But this being the most oldest audience I've ever been into, I think.
Yeah.
I am the only one that fell down the stairs on the way out. And not only did I fall down the stairs on the way out, I have a massive bruise on my ass.
Oh, no, mate.
I fell on the steps. So I've got bruise, perfect line, perfect white line where I landed. Then bruise.
Oh, did you get lots of old dears going, oh my goodness, are you all right?
Luckily, there was only one old dear left in there, but yes, she did ask me if I was all right. So thank you to that woman, appreciated. And yes, it really did hurt, but I tried to walk it off and look like a man.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm sitting down, I'm not lying, it's slightly painful, so I'm leaning to the right. So we should probably bang on with this.
We should probably talk about the film, to be honest, rather than your ass. But, you know, it's fine.
It really hurts. Fisherman's Friend, Rich.
Yeah, so we're in quite a unique position with this one, aren't
we?
Being as I've seen the first one, and I quite enjoyed the first one. Yeah. And you have not seen it.
I barely knew it was a movie, really.
You have gone into this completely cold. And I have to say, you've done it the wrong way round.
Really?
You should have watched the first. We'll get into this in a minute, but the first one's a lot better.
I can't imagine the first one being a lot different.
I mean,
Fisherman Singing. How can they drag that over two movies?
It's not a lot different, but it's a lot more charming than this one.
I didn't think this was uncharming.
I'm not saying it's not uncharming. I think you need to watch the first one. It just is a lot better.
Okay, so what's the storyline of the first one? And then there's the storyline of the second one.
Storyline of the first one is essentially a record producer goes on a stag do to Cornwall, accidentally discovers a group of singing fishermen, singing sea shanties in a pub, thinks, do you know what? This is the next big thing. Gets him a record deal. The end.
Right.
But also falls in love with one of their daughters.
Oh, is that the Danny person they keep mentioning?
Yeah. So that's
the 10th member.
So he joins. So Danny is the record. Who's played by Daniel Mays.
Who's a great actor.
He's a great actor who is not in this. Noel Clarke's also in the first one. Probably a very good reason he's not in this one. And also Tuppence Middleton is the daughter. That's the love interest, Danny Mays and Tuppence Middleton. But they're not in this one. They're in Australia.
They're in Australia travelling?
Who goes travelling in Australia and leaves their kid at home?
Well, I was hoping it was travelling and not living.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Obviously, they weren't available to come back. I think it is lacking something for not having them in.
Right.
But the storyline of this one is, it takes place a year later. The Fisherman's Friends are on a tour. They're touring the country, doing singing in pubs and clubs. And unfortunately, Jago, who is... Jim, the lead sort of the lead singer, played by James Purefoy, Jago, his dad has died.
Was he in the first one?
He was in the first one. He was a big part of the first one. So the father-son relationship was a big kind of thing in the first one. And he's died, and Jim is not taking it well, and has kind of developed an alcohol addiction, and is a bit self-destructive in this one. And that is threatening their sort of chances, essentially, of getting a second record made. So we have got it's Jada Nuka, and I can't remember what the character's name is, but she's really lovely. Jada Nuka, I think she's a great actress, and her character's like the record label boss. She's the boss of Island Records, who have signed these guys. Yeah, essentially the kind of self-destructive nature of Jim is putting a kibosh on their second album. It's very strange that they're talking about a difficult second album. That's what this whole movie is about, the difficult second album. Yeah. Making a difficult second movie. about a difficult second album. So yeah, a lot of it is about kind of like Jim struggling with the death of his dad and struggling to, you know, cope with that and cope with the fame, I suppose, as well, that's comes with being the band. And yeah,
based on true events though, so is that basically,
I mean,
is it
really loosely,
is it that they got to play Glastonbury is the bit that's
essentially to give away the ending of the movie, the Fisherman's Friends in real life did play the Pyramid State at Glastonbury. That's true, that's real. I don't think any of the rest of this is particularly real.
No, I hope not.
I don't think it is. No, I think the rest of it is very loosely made up.
Was this first one, was it brought out before or after the whole sea shanty craze? You remember when everything...
Yeah, way before. Way before.
Okay,
before
cool.
The TikTok stuff kicked off. So it was 2019, before the pandemic.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that they didn't bring it out afterwards or before.
No, it's definitely before. And I really like folk music. I really like the music in these movies.
I would like to see more of the singing fishermen in this movie, because I think I counted four. I know there were songs in the background that played throughout, but I wanted to see the Fisherman's Friend.
Yeah. And there's a bit more of that in the first one. It's a bit more, I guess the first one feels a bit more kind of Full Monty-ish, getting the band together. The band are already together, but I mean kind of makes them into a kind of successful thing. You get to learn a bit more about them. I don't know, it just...
Well, good news. The first one, the one I watched today made me want to watch the first one.
Good. Well, that's really good, because the first one is a lot better. A lot better.
And I would use the word I would use this one is fluff.
Yes. I mean, it's cheese on toast.
Cheese on toast.
But I quite like a bit of cheese on toast. I really like a British movie, and I will forgive a lot of like cheesiness in a British movie, just because I like a British movie, especially a kind of a drama comedy like this one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We do them well.
We do those well, yeah. And this one was a little bit too cheesy and too contrived, I think, in a lot of places, and too predictable. You know, that was that. You know, it's just there was no nothing. You know, it's like very much could have been written by an AI.
Yeah, everything you guessed was coming, you knew was coming.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There was no way it was going off peak at any point. No surprises.
You knew exactly what was coming.
Oh my God, are they going to let that Welsh guy into the band? Of course they're going to let
him. And they're going to end up being really good friends. Of course they are.
He's a really good singer. Why would they not have him in?
Are Jim and Imelda May going to end up together? Are they going to have an inevitable, I can't do this breakup that lasts about 4 minutes?
Do you know what I was surprised about? The bit in the well.
Yeah, well, that.
Because at that point, I thought, oh, come on, people. We didn't need this.
No, you really didn't need it. You really didn't need it.
I left the house to my wife going, I won't be that long. This film can't be 2 hours long.
2 hours long.
1 hour 51, apparently. Yeah. And I thought, you bastards.
Could have cut that whole thing about falling down the well out of it. And, that wouldn't have...
I have a few issues. When it first started, I thought, am I meant to like these people? Because you're introduced to them on the run. Mm. Jim's got his drinking problems. He's a bit of an angry guy. You're also the first person you're introduced to is the young guy who is made out to like he's having the well of a time on the away from his wife.
Yeah, Rowan.
And I was like,
am
I meant to be cheering for these people? Mm. And the other ones literally don't say a word. Only three of the band say anything. Oh, and the Welsh guy that joins later.
Yeah. It felt like you got more of the band in the first one than this one.
Do the other ones say things in the first one?
No.
Oh,
But there are more of them because there's like Jim's dad in it and stuff as well. So
are they miming to the real Fisherman's Friends? Or is that...
I don't know.
Rich, this is the kind of stuff that I wanted you to know.
I don't know.
Being the number one fan of the Fisherman's Friend, do you
I'll
have
tell you what
albums?
Is true. What is true is that Fisherman's Friends were on Chris Evans' breakfast show.
He was good. Chris
that's
Evans.
Where I heard them. You know, that's
you
where
heard
I
that
first
interview?
Heard them. I didn't hit. No, the interview wasn't that interview.
Oh, okay.
They were on the show and they did some singing on the show and stuff, and that's where I first heard them. So that was before the first movie came out. And no, I didn't buy their album. No. But, you know, I've got Spotify, so I'll just use that.
Oh, so you listen to them willingly?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's their first album called? Is it called Fisherman's Friends?
No, it's called...
Sea Shanty.
Oh, God.
Welcome to the Waves. We love the ocean. Moby Dick.
No.
Ocean World. Life's a Beach. He's looking now, people. I can't fill this long with sea puns.
I can't remember what it's called. Oh, it's called No Hopers, Jokers and Rogues. There you go.
That is much better than what I was just coming up with or what I expected it to be. I liked the music. I found myself like tapping my foot, enjoying those bits.
Music's definitely the best bit about the whole movie, to be honest. So, yeah. But also there are some good bits. I think James Purefoy is Jim and Imelda May, who is his kind of love interest in this. I think their chemistry is good.
Yes.
I think I can.
I don't think anyone's chemistry is bad, to be honest, in this.
No, I think that, you
David,
know.
Was it David Johns, who's Ido, and Daniel Blake? Or was it?
Yes, yeah, Leadville, yeah. He's funny.
He's funny. He's the comedy wing of this film.
Yeah, and there's Gareth, played by Joshua McClure.
The young guy, right?
No, sorry, Joshua Maguire. Sorry, idiot. Yeah, who's like the record label guy, who's kind of the new Danny, who isn't
I
really.
Like him. He's in a TV series I watched on BBC called Cheating.
Oh, right.
And he was also the... Is he in About Time or something with Domhnall Hall?
I don't know. He's in Cheaters.
That was good.
He was in About Time, you're right. Look at you.
I know, that's going to come well back. He's a nice little actor, and I enjoyed some of his jokes, especially when he gets stranded at sea.
Yeah, some of his... Yeah, his Cornwall got the comedy relief.
Is the real winner out of all this.
Yeah, Cornwall looks awesome.
But it's so funny because they're making a film about people moving, like buying houses. They're trying to make a point of it, basically, which is nice. Buying houses, they're moving away, you know, holiday homes.
So the first movie is basically all about how the village is dying. And the local pub's going to have to close because all the houses are being bought by people who are only there for like 2 weeks a year.
But this movie's just going to do the same thing. It just makes it place that
it's not quite as in depth in this movie, in the second movie.
Yeah.
It really
No, but I'm saying in real life, this will make people move to Cornwall.
Oh, right. I see. Right. Gotcha.
It looks lovely.
Well, yeah, but I think they want people to move to Cornwall. They don't want people who live in London to buy second homes in Cornwall.
Oh, well, that's never going to happen. And then people who live in London, who can afford to live in London, can afford to have a second home.
Yeah, exactly.
In Cornwall. Is James
Purefoy?
Is he Cornish?
No. Don't think
How
so.
How is your Cornishier with accents? Any of these people Cornish? Because I believed it all then.
I don't know. I mean, well, he's from Somerset, so he's West Country.
Hey! He knows it.
He's not far.
I'll let him off. That's pretty good then, I thought.
Yeah, so he's from Taunton, so he's not far from Cornwall.
Mate, you're good on your details today. Okay, next two questions for you. Now we can do the film. Scones or scones? Cream first or jam first? This is a big debate in the movie.
Scones, jam first, cream on top, always.
Scones, cream first, jam on top.
No.
But then in the film, though,
that's
I was
so wrong.
Yeah, no.
The Queen has it the right way around, by the way.
I was thinking about it while watching it, because my mind wanders when a film shouldn't be as long as it should be.
Yeah.
Or isn't. And I thought, no, that does make sense, putting the jam on. And then just a big dollop of cream. Because I get annoyed about dollop of cream and then struggling to spread my jam.
Exactly right.
I don't know why I have never thought, let's try this the other way around.
Have this argument with my wife. She is a cream first person, but she does a really thin layer of cream like it's butter.
It depends what you like more, I guess.
Nah,
if you like,
nah.
I like cream over jam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a massive jammy guy. So less jam, more cream for me.
Yeah, big time.
So maybe it will be easier to just do a little sliver of jam than a big old dollop of the good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it's
but
all
you're
about.
A scone guy.
I'm a scone guy, definitely.
Scones are scones. Scones are scones.
Scones if you're posh. Scones if you're not.
I don't think I use the word enough to really warrant a, like, what I say? I don't know. Do you fancy a scone? Do you fancy a scone? I'll tell you what, next time I ask for one of those things, I'll try and remember it. But
yeah.
Because then it comes out naturally.
Yeah.
That is also a storyline in the film, guys.
I've genuinely said this to my son. It's scone because if you leave it too near me, it's scone. Right? Get it? As in, it's gone. Yeah?
Bravo. He must think you're a comedy genius.
I don't know. I think he used to, but he's getting older now. So now he just rolls his eyes at me. Oh. Oh, dear.
That's sad.
Yeah. So there we go. So, yeah. I mean, it's... It's not a total write-off of a movie. And like I say, I cut this movie a lot of slack because I really like a British movie. And I really
Did you see when the first one ended, did you think, I can't wait for the sequel.
No, I didn't think there'd be a sequel. I generally, this was a complete surprise. It didn't need a sequel.
The first one must have been a success,
definitely.
Right? It must have made a
little
bit of it.
I think it was a sleeper hit. I don't think anyone was thinking it would be anything special. You know, it's a British movie, so it probably cost about 45p to make.
Made over 10 million profit, I think. So
that's probably why it got a second one.
Third one?
I mean, they kind of set up a third one a little bit, like in a kind of, you know, breaking the fourth wall nod at the end when they went, oh, I've just spoken to someone backstage who wants to make a movie about us.
Do you reckon that could be another sequel? But could I just be. Thought that was a funny nod to the first one.
I think it is probably a funny nod, but at the same time, it does open the door to be like, the next one is they're struggling to have a movie made about them.
Yeah. And people who think that's a spoiler, us giving a spoiler out, it's not.
It doesn't affect
you them. Can't spoil this movie because...
Because it's so predictable.
Nothing truly amazing happens, and it's so predictable.
Yeah,
it just absolutely careers slowly to an ending that you knew was coming, and I don't really know how to.
But it's a nice, gentle.
It's nice and gentle
movie that's
Sunday
not going to challenge
afternoon.
You. Yeah. Could easily be a TV series. You know, doesn't have to be.
I mean,
a
Doc
movie.
Martin's ending, and that's
in Cornwall, isn't it? Yeah.
That's in Cornwall, the little village I've been to. I can't remember the name of it, near
like
Portsmouth.
Fourth Cullen or something like that. Or...
They need a new TV series based in Cornwall.
Yeah, definitely.
And Cornwall is a lovely part of the world.
It
by
is,
the way.
Yeah. It is a lovely part of the world.
It's a shame it's like 7 hours drive or whatever it is.
It's too far. It's too far.
It's too far for a weekend.
Yeah, it's true. But, you know, like I say, it's a warm enough movie. It's not a patch on the first one in terms of its heart and its kind of like, you know, warm hugness. The first one is very much more of that.
Would you recommend it? Would you say go see it on the cinema?
I would recommend it if you are 75 or over. And you want to trip out to the cinema. You want to trip out to the cinema, nice day out. You want to get out of the house. You know, your grandson's offered to take you somewhere. Go and watch this at the cinema.
It wasn't even no one spilled their popcorn anywhere.
No.
I mean, the people who are clearing up after these
screenings
must love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Although, there were a couple of people talking through the trailers in mine, which, at least it wasn't the movie, but, you know, it was the trailers.
I had a lovely time.
Yeah.
I really did. I'd love it if I had a cup of tea in there. I should have brought a cup of tea with me.
Should have swapped my bottle of Mountain Dew for a cup of tea. Yeah,
Mountain
Dew?
Take
a thermos. Yeah, had a bottle of Mountain Dew, yeah. Just fancied it.
What, are you Canadian?
Don't know, just saw it on the shelf. Thought, you know what, I'll give it a go.
Nice. I've had enough of that the last 3 weeks. An A&W. I've put on a bit of wheat.
Oh, right.
Again.
Okay.
Two of the unequal sequel questions then. Mm-hmm. What do you rate it? And is it an unequal sequel? In which way would you...
Okay, it's definitely an unequal sequel. It's nowhere near as good as the first one.
No, you're using the words nowhere
near.
No,
it's not. It's nowhere near as good as the first one. The first one is... I can't tell you how much better than this the first one is.
I thought this was all right. So the first one in my head is going to be like...
It's all right. The first one's really good. I really liked it. So I would say this is probably out of 7, maybe a 3. But I'm being generous.
Yeah,
two and a half or three.
I would say 3. I couldn't. There's not enough of it there to put it any lower.
I'd say the first one's a 5.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the difference for me.
Is that because the first one came out of nowhere and it's one of those films like, fuck, it's
sort
an original
came out of
plot
nowhere.
Kind of thing?
I sort of knew the band a little bit already, and I do, and I like the whole folk music stuff.
Mm.
So yeah, I kind of had a bit of a resonance. Danny Mays and Tuppence Middleton are great in it as well, and that's missing from this one.
I wondered who the Danny character was they kept mentioning.
Yeah.
Because for a minute I thought it was the dad, and then they started calling him something else. I was I'm very confused.
Yeah, no, the first one is definitely better. Yeah, like I say, the first one's probably a 5-star. I'd say this is probably a 3-star.
Lovely.
So what about you? What would you rate it?
I'd probably say 3 as well, because this bit's, honestly, it's Mr. Predictable. It's too long for a nice, charming film like this, but it is fluff. It's harmless. It's unoffensive.
It's cheese on toast, and every now and then you fancy a bit of cheese on toast. Yeah,
there's no bit that makes me angry when I think about it, and that's a good thing.
A lot of the jokes are kind of eye rolly jokes, you know.
It's also a little bit forgettable.
Yeah,
I got home straight away. And I haven't listened. Normally when I get home watching a film about music stars, I instantly, if I enjoy that film, aka Elvis, I will whack on that music as literally.
And I think if you'd listened to the first one, you might have done that.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Because my wife takes me the piss out of me that I listen to music that I've just heard. Even if it's just a song in a film, it comes on my playlist. She's like, oh, it's already made it. So Elvis is, I download that album. This one, I don't know how much sea shanty I can take, to be honest.
But I guess folk music is slightly acquired taste. And sea shanty is a kind of a sub-genre of folk music, isn't it? So,
yeah. When they sing, do they not have any instruments? Because I was like, where are the instruments when they're singing?
Well, I think, yeah.
Was just for movie magic, was it?
Yeah, I think obviously they do have instruments on the recordings on some of the songs.
But when they were saying,
there was nobody playing instruments on. You couldn't see anyone.
Any of the stages.
Yeah, no, that was
on band, on tour.
I don't know. I haven't seen them on tour.
Well, but I meant on the movie tour.
There weren't any musicians in the movie.
Some of those
were there?
People that weren't saying anything playing the fiddle.
Yeah, of course you could, but they didn't. So.
All right. Well, I don't know why I'm getting angry about it.
I don't know. Don't know why you're getting angry with me. I didn't make the movie.
No, but you made me watch it. And you know what? Thank you for that. It got me out of the house.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it gave us something to talk about on a very dry sequel time.
I'm not quite sure how many people are going to listen to this and think, oh, I can't wait to watch that.
I don't expect anyone
will. Us to talk about this.
I do sometimes when we're doing these episodes, I do look around to see what other people have thought of the movie, just to see if I'm completely, like, off kilter on it. And I can find very few people that have even bothered to watch it.
I listened to the Robin Collin interview he did when he was standing in for Mayo and Commode on on their take. And he wasn't a massive fan. I think he said pretty much what we said. It's, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely word.
Well, yeah, you know what's not generic, though? Our podcast. Yeah. Our podcast, massively diverse. Go back and listen to all those really diverse episodes you've missed. There are 3 seasons of interview episodes, all those to go back to. There's a bucket load of these extra episodes of me and Dave just talking nonsense. And there's loads. And while you're there, just click the little subscribe button. And every time we do a new episode, which there's going to be quite a few of because we're about to start season 4, it'll automatically drop into your pod player and you'll be able to listen to us, our dulcet tones, at least once a week. And when the series starts, twice a week. If you like us, you can even drop us a little 5 stars or a tick or a heart or whatever it is in your pod shop of choice. And even write us a review. I don't mind if you want to give us 5 stars and then say we're rubbish when you write the review. That's okay. But stick the 5 stars on and then, you know, you can write nasty things in the review. That's fine. We're even quite happy to hear what you think. If you loved Fisherman's Friends 1 and all and you're not 85, or if you hated it and you think we're talking absolute nonsense, then drop us a line. You can get hold of us on the socials. We're at @unequalsequel on Twitter and Instagram. And you can drop us an email, unequalsequel@hotmail.com. We also now have a website.
It's real, I've seen it.
After months of saying I'm going to do it.
Years.
we have a website.
And it's lovely, well done.
It is, yeah. And it's unequalsequel.com. Check that out.
Yeah. One of the things I've got to add is send your opinions for our end of month specials. That's when we'll read out what you think of Fisherman's Friends 1 and all. By the way, when he does the 1 and all line, it made me want to slice myself into my stomach.
Yeah, that is shit.
Yeah, too. Rich was saying we've got a bundle of these episodes. This is now our unofficial 100th episode.
Is it really? And we, not including... we wasted it on Fisherman's Friends 1 and all. Oh,
unofficially,
mate.
Yes.
I don't think it's officially 100 episodes until we've done 100 interview episodes.
No, I don't count these really as episodes.
No, these are just bonus little tidbits.
This is just to keep us going and practice.
Yeah.
I've got to say, apart from thank you for listening, thank you for all the support, we love you all. I haven't prepared a bye-bye today, so because I just forgot, to be honest. Secret to you guys, I forgot to wear headphones when I first started to talk to Rich.
Yeah, did.
And so it's going to be a little bye like this. Bing! And a bye-bye from him.
Bye!
Get out there, guys. Go and play a bit of rugby or football, a bit of sport. It's a lovely time of the year. It's turning into autumn. The leaves are going red. You know, some would say this is the best part of the year. They're wrong, but have a splendid time. See you next time. Bye.
That bye really threw me.
That's always my plan.